We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Johnny One says, how difficult it is for young, undersized players to compete in practice? For example, Logan Thomas is an extremely undersized defensive end. Do coaches adjust reps for those situations until the body develops?
Well, in his specific case, he's not practicing because he's injured. Right. But in normal situations, no. I mean, you still have him go about it. Mm-hmm. What you may do is you may limit the number of, like, team reps he's going to take. Right. Because you don't want him to get hurt.
Or it's really a specified role. Like Logan Thomas would strike me as a guy. Like if he played in 2024, he's probably a designated pass rusher, right? Like he's not playing on a lot of early downs or obvious running situations.
So you're not going to have him setting the edge a bunch against Florida State or Georgia?
Not the best thing. I don't want him to see him, set the edge against Ernest Green from Georgia coming back. Exactly. Probably not the best idea in the world.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's a good point as well, Ryan, is it would be more of that niche type of situation, but it's more about limiting those. I'm not having him go against Charles Jagasol 75 reps in a team period,
if I'm never practicing him setting the edge or doing something at the point of attack, then when he is of weight, then he doesn't have any experience doing that. Right, John. So that could be counterproductive a little bit in the long run. So.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We had DJ who says, which position can we least afford to lose the second team player to the portal? Ooh, second team players.
Which position can we least afford to lose the second team player to the portal? Well, I mean, for me, I think the answer is, Ryan, we already talked about earlier. They corner. Like, let's just say whoever wins the battle between Jaden Mickey and Christian Gray. Right. If the guy that doesn't start leaves, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a major problem, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a good one. Oh, yeah. Here's another one that's I agree with that one. Right tackle would be one too, where it's like if it's just Tosh and nothing else, you're like, oh gosh, what are we gonna do here, man? Like you don't even have any competition for him.
And now you have a redshirt freshman who's never like taken a meaningful pass set in a game, is you're now your number two at left and right tackle, unless you're a true freshman Gerby Lambert can handle it, you know, or true freshman Stiles Prescott can handle it.
And even and even Gerby, when he was on the show for signing day, he talked a lot about like that he is still very new to pass protection as well. Yeah. So like it's hard to expect him to just come in and make a seamless transition as well.
Right. And he doesn't have that extra 30, 35 pounds that Charles Jagasaw had on him, where he could just kind of bully guys a little bit. So yeah, O-tackle would be one. The only reason I didn't say tight end, Ryan, was because I feel like because of where they are in past years, tight end would have been in my answer. I feel like they're so deep at running back and receiver that if they do get low on numbers at tight end, they can kind of get through. Because there was times last year where LSU had literally one healthy tight end in a game. And I mean, that's it. And you could even kind of put an asterisk by healthy, because Mason Taylor was healthy enough to play. But I wouldn't necessarily say he was anywhere close to being 100%. I mean, you just watch some games where he's running and you're like, that kid's not as explosive as he was last year. It's because he was banged up and he was playing through those things. And you know, Mason Taylor showed me some toughness this year and because of that. But they could get by without the tight end depth that they've had. But it's not ideal. It's still not ideal. Cornerback would be an issue. Right tackle would be an issue. Safety to a degree. I mean, you know, let's say Rod Hurd comes back and Adon Shuler leaves. That's a major problem. It's a major problem. Sure. Or Adon Shuler starts and Rod Hurd's not happy and he leaves, which I don't think any of those things are going to happen. I'm just making a point, you know, to the specifics of the question. That would be an issue. If running back, if the number two left, they'd be fine. Quarterback, they'd be fine. Receiver, I think they'd be fine. Interior offensive line, I think they'd be fine. You know, D tackle, they'd be fine. Yeah, a lot of those positions, I think they'd be fine. Which is a good place to be. Really good place to be.
We had Mark Avalone, who says, have you ever analyzed Kevin McDougal, 1993 quarterback strength and weaknesses, and do you think he would have been a better pro if he had not been sandwiched between Rick Meyer and Ron Paulus?
No, I don't think he would have. I don't think that impacted his professional career at all. Kevin was a really good, I mean, he was what you would call a winner, you know, at Notre Dame, because he would just always had a knack for making those plays when you needed him to make a play.
He was J.J. McCarthy before J.J. McCarthy, maybe.
Yes, there you go. There you go. Never went through a game, I don't think, where he didn't throw the ball against a top 10 team at all in a half. But he just wasn't – he was a good athlete. He wasn't an elite athlete. He had a pretty good arm, but he wasn't a natural passer. He was an option passer. You know what I mean, Ryan? Like, yeah. He was just not that. He was a really good fit for Lou Holtz's offense, but I don't think he was. Whereas Meyer and Paulus were bad fits for Lou Holtz's offense. Mm-hmm. Like, they'd have been better off going to a Penn State or, you know, Purdue back then, where, you know, you had a little bit more of a passing system. They would have been much style
passing type of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were not natural option quarterbacks.
Right.
McDougal was. McDougal and Tony Rice were much better fits for Lou Holtz's offense than Rick Meyer, Ron Paulus.
I wonder too if Rick Meyer, because obviously he got drafted very early. I wonder if going to another school may have actually gotten him more.
I think
ready for the NFL. Yes. You know what I mean?
Think there's a lot to that, Ryan. 100%. Yeah. I think there's a ton to that. I've thought about that. Like, what kind of career would Ron Paulus have had if he'd have gone to Penn State instead of Notre Dame? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll never know. But you know, I mean, and it's an interesting question. It's a very interesting question. I actually liked Ron Paulus a lot, even at Notre Dame. I thought he got a bad rep because of all the hype they put on him. That wasn't his fault of all that.
Sure.
I have certain different feelings about him now, but it has nothing to do with what I thought of him as a player. I still believe if Ron Paulus would have gone to a school that developed him as a passer, he would have had a much better chance of being an NFL quarterback. And because also you're talking about two collarbone injuries to a quarterback are not something to sniff at. His arm talent wasn't as good when he finished his career as it was when he came to Notre Dame because of those injuries. Mm-hmm. Rick Meyer's another one. Because what was the knock on Rick Meyer in the NFL, Ryan? It was he can't read defenses like we need to read defense.
Right.
Well, he never had to read a defense like that in college. What would have his career – like, let's just say he'd have been at Miami instead of Craig Erickson in the 90 to 92.
Yep.
You know, like he would have learned a little bit. He'd have been playing Dennis Erickson's wide open, throw the ball all around offense. He'd have learned to process information a lot more. Way more physical talent than a guy like Craig Erickson.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, those are just some of my thoughts on that one. Here's a good one, Ryan. I'm going to ask this one of you, Chris, because I actually answered this one somewhat recently. Outside of quarterback, who is the one – it's from Christopher Crosby. Thank you, Christopher. Who is the one quarterback who, outside of quarterback, who is the one kid in the 26 class that you want above all others? So, like, if you could say, man, I can guarantee that Notre Dame is going to get that kid that's currently on the radar.
Jackson Cantwell. Jackson Cantwell, really good. Offensive tackle from Nixon, Missouri. Look, we just talked about it. The right tackle position is in a little bit of an interesting situation for the 2024 season. Offensive tackle-wise, I think you just need to continue to add good bodies there, right? Good talents there, because that was one spot that unfortunately was maybe not filled enough, you know, in a couple years span there, right? So I think getting talented offensive tackle is very important. I think that Jackson Cantwell, in my opinion, at least for what I've seen earlier, I think that he probably is the best player in the 2026 class for me. I mean, personally,
you're talking about just any period or
just any player. Yeah, I think it's between him and the Kendre Harrison kid, the tight end, defensive end out of North Carolina. Like, that kid's pretty sick. Tyler Atkinson out of Georgia, the linebacker out of Grayson. Like, those are some guys that are just like, yeah, they're really, really good, you know? So
I can't say that I've seen enough film, Ryan, to say that he's the best player in the country. So I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. I will say this, however, right now, his film is better, in my opinion, than the three kids Notre Dame has committed in the 2025 offensive line class.
Oh yeah.
Right now. And those are good football players. Those are all kids that we grade as 4-star kids and with good upsides. He'd be there. If he committed tomorrow to Notre Dame, and I'm not saying he will, I don't even think he's visited yet. Mm-hmm. And he decided to reclassify to 2025.
Yeah.
He would absolutely be a top 100 player at the very least, and he would very easily be the number one offensive lineman in that class.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. In my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I think that kid has about as – I've never seen a sophomore like that in my life. I've never seen it. He 6'7", 300 pounds, moves well, incredibly physical. He's also a 64-foot shot putter as a freshman in high school. I mean, his parents apparently are both Olympian throwers. Like, this kid's freak, man. He's an absolute freak. Yeah. Kendrick Harrison's a freak, though, too, because that kid's 6'7", 245. Could play tight end. He could go play wide receiver if he wanted to. He could play defensive end. That kid's a freaky athlete as well. But I would probably go Jackson Campbell just because offensive tackle, I think, is more of a need moving forward of the next couple years than what tight end is for me. So, yeah.
I think the point you nailed, Ryan, yes, he's big. He's listed between 6'7", 6'8". He's already 300 pounds. He's powerful. He mauls people. Yeah. But he's so athletic for that size. I mean, just he's just athletic. I mean, you go watch his highlight tape. The first highlight tape, he's coming off, butt dropped, pads down, and just boom, gets off the line and just blows a dude up. You're like, okay, that's pretty good.
He's crazy.
You don't often see five clippers in the offensive line. You don't often see that. And five clippers are those guys you watch five clips of. And what do they used to call them back in the day, Ryan? It was like something meters or something like that, or something like that. Cause it was like, you know, it's back when the film was like, you know, however long, you know, five clip guys. You watch a guy five clips and five
frames.
They would use like either inches or centimeters or something. It was something like that. I have to ask one of the old cats about that one. Mm-hmm. But he's a five clip guy. You watch five clips and you're just like, this kid's a dude. Yeah. You don't have to watch anymore. Now you will, right? That's you always do, but you're just, I mean, that kid's a freak. Like, I remember watching Reggie Bush, and I was like, three plays in, I'm like, holy crap, this guy's a dude.
Yeah.
You know, there's just certain guys like that. And Jackson Cantwell, you literally can watch 3 to 4 plays, and you're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
This guy is excellent.
There's a couple of them in the class. I mean, again, him, Kendre Harrison, Jared Curtis, the quarterback out of Tennessee, was one of those guys for me where I'm just like, I saw him throw three times. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm good.
Yeah.
Don't need to see him
anymore. You love Jared Curtis. We've talked about him.
He's a freak. Yeah. He's a freak. He's a very good player.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, we have another one. Here's one from Archer452.
Archer, what's up, man? What is the most hype you have ever heard for a true freshman going into a season?
I mean, that's an easy one. That's Ron Paulus. I mean, before he got hurt
Notre
as a
Dame.
Freshman.
Just for Notre Dame.
Anywhere. Okay. I mean, you were young, Ryan. Ron Paul, Beano Cook, who at the time was one of the big sports writers, said Ron Paulus is going to win two Heismans at Notre Dame. Okay. I mean, he was being serious. Like, you remember the Jimmy Clausen's hype
cannot match the
hype for Ron Paulus coming out of high school, in my opinion. Can't match it. He was supposed to be and he was going to start as a freshman. If he doesn't get hurt, he starts as a freshman on that 93 team. So I don't know that I've ever seen anyone with more hype than Ron Paulus.
Two guys that are just Notre Dame more recently than that, because I don't remember, obviously, Ron Paulus coming out of high school, but Jimmy was one, Manti was the other, where it was just like, holy smokes. Yes. that's different.
Jadeveon Clowney's another one nationally had a ton of hype going into freshman
year. And he lived up to it as a freshman.
He was pretty good. He got progressively worse, but yeah, he was a star as a freshman, man.
They still play the play where he smoked Vincent Doobie Smith for Michigan and picked up the ball with one hand. Like, all right.
That was one of the craziest plays it was one of those crazy plays. It reminded me of that dunk that Vince Young did in the dunk contest where Vince Carter. What did I say? Vince Young. Where you almost didn't even get it at first. So you had to kind of go back and watch the replay to realize everything he did on that play, you know, beating the guy, blowing the guy up. Cause at first he blew the helmet off the guy. Then you don't even, when I first saw it live, I had to see the replay before I realized he freaking scooped the ball.
What he did.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like you had to watch it again to get the full grasp of what happened. And the dunk I'm referring to is when Vince Young went through the rim and kind of hung by his elbow. You didn't get it at first. It was so like, what? You had to think about it for a second. Like, did he just dunk down through the rim? Yes, he did. You know what I mean? It's just like, holy moly, that's weird and just rare. But yeah, I had to watch that play it three times before I picked up all the different things that Jadeveon Clowney did on that clip. I mean, it was just ridiculous. Reggie Bush had a ton of hype coming out of high school as well.
Yeah.
And he backed it up. I mean, from his freshman year, he was really, really good.
I feel like Julio Jones had some like crazy hype coming out of high school. Foley, right? Foley High School,
I think. He did. Yeah. But I don't know that it was as much as it would have been if he wasn't also part of the best high school receiving class I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And it's not close. Mm-hmm. So he had a ton of hype going to Bama.
Mm-hmm.
But you also had A.J. Green had a ton of hype in that class as well. Michael Floyd mm-hmm. had a ton of hype going to Notre Dame. That class was so nuts, Ryan. It was those three, which is, I mean, that enough. Michael Floyd, Julio Jones, and A.J. Green is enough for like, that's a great receiver class. Justin, yeah. Your boy Justin Blackmon was in that class.
Yeah, he's a freak.
Yeah. Devere Posey was in that class. Dan Buckner was in that class. Jonathan Baldwin from was that in that class.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Carr and Jarius Wright, who both went to Arkansas, were in that class. I mean, and it's just off the top of my head. I mean, that was without question the best high school receiving class. And so many of those guys went on to be dudes in college. I mean, it was unreal. Yeah. And the guy that might have been, honestly, might have ended up being the best of all of them was DeAndre Brown, who went to Southern Miss because he had some major academic issues and some other issues. He was a freak his freshman year. And then he got hurt, blew his leg up, and he was never the same guy. But, like, he might have – well, I don't know if he would have been the best. He was in the conversation with those other guys. Sure. He just went to Southern Miss because, like I said, he couldn't get into other schools. I mean, how bad do your grades got to be that you can't get into Ole Miss and Mississippi State? That's a problem.
Really bad.
You know, that's a problem. But
I'm thinking, like, Ohio State since Archer's at – you remember – when Terrell Pryor came out of Gannett, Pennsylvania, holy – and Beanie Wells, too, was another one for Ohio State. Like, I remember
the Royce Claret might be a little bit before you, but he got a ton of hype coming out of high school as well. So he was actually at one point in time a silent commit to Notre Dame. Yep, but Bob Davey screwed that one up. And he was always going to go to Ohio State. But, yeah, early on, a lot of people thought that Maurice Claret was going to go to Notre Dame very early.
Well, Maurice Claret played really well as a freshman, and obviously it was a great year for Ohio State, even though they cheated in the national championship game. But, you know, it's another conversation for another day.
I always have wondered, Ryan, what would his and Mike Williams' careers have looked like if they didn't try to sue the NCAA to get into the draft?
Yeah.
If they would have just focused on going to college and doing their thing, and you know what I mean? Like, I really wonder what their careers would have looked like. Would have been interesting.
Yeah. Mike Williams was crazy at USC before that happened. He was crazy.
It was ridiculous.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, we got Zach Nichols with a super chat. Thank you, Zach. Very appreciated. Comparing classes 2024 wide running back, wide receiver, defensive end, 2025 tight end, cornerback, safety, Washington quarterback, offensive line, TBD, defensive tackle, linebacker. Is that fair? Bummer. It looked like the 2025 class had a chance to be up at
chance.
Well,
I mean, I think the 25 class still does up the ante. I mean, look, it's not going to be a situation where every year the class gets better and better and better and better. You'd like for that to eventually be the case, but eventually it just, you can't get any better. It's also more also partly about stacking up, building a roster. So for example, Ryan, there was no potential, in my opinion, there was no way that Notre Dame was going to have any chance of matching last year's running back class. two reasons. Number one, you weren't going to sign two backs after you signed those two dudes. And number two, this is one of the worst running back classes I've seen in a long time when it comes to like really high level impact players from what I've seen. It's not a very good running back class. So what is Notre Dame doing at running back? They took a flyer on a kid that's a crazy athlete. I said this, like he ran a 4.4 at Notre Dame. He's got really good track times. But I also watched Justin Thurman do a broad jump where he jumped so far on the broad jump, Ryan, where he jumped out of the box and they had to get an extra measuring tape to measure where he had jumped out of, like, to see how far he jumped. Like, mm-hmm. He is an elite athlete. He's just not an elite football player yet. So you take a chance on a kid like that. That's smart. A year after getting Kedron Young and Aeneas Williams, guys who are probably going to play as freshmen to some degree, and, you know, you take a chance on a kid like that. Plus, he has some positional flexibility as well. And with Daniel Anderson, I mentioned Tony Jones earlier. That's who Daniel Anderson is. He's not an elite athlete. He's not great size. He doesn't have anything special. He's just a good running back. And he's probably going to be a program guy, meaning he'll understand he's not going to play as a freshman and sophomore probably. And that kid's time may not come junior, senior year. But, you know, there's going to come a time potentially where you're going into a season and this is his senior year and you thought you were going to have your star back and he gets hurt or he goes to the NFL soon. And all of a sudden, Daniel Anderson's your running back and you look down and you're like, holy crap, he rushed for 1,000 yards. You know, and it wasn't sexy, wasn't pretty. He's just a good football player. Ideally, he's a good number two, number three for you for his career. Great locker room kid. And if you ever need to hand him the ball, you're going to feel good about it because he's got really good vision and good balance and all those kind of things. He's just not an explosive athlete, you know? So I actually, and because if you went out and got two more Kedrons and Aeneas, guess what? Of that four, at least one or two guys are probably transferring at some point in time because of you're just too stocked or too stacked, in my opinion. Whereas these are kids that are more likely because of their personalities and the fact that they know their development players are more likely to stick it out for a little bit at Notre Dame. And if they do leave down the road, it's because you over-recruited behind them, not in front of them. And so that's going to be part of it as well. You have to look into that. But there's also been some head scratchers in this class too, Ryan, which you and I will discuss as we kind of get out of the spring. But back to the super chat from Zach. 2024, I give them the edge at running back.
Yep.
I give them the edge at receiver.
Yes.
Let me ask you this question, Ryan. If Notre Dame, is there – I know my answer. Is there a scenario of guys on the board that they could land at receiver that would make you say, I think 25 is better than 24?
I mean, if they got Taylen Taylor and Derek Meadows, then maybe. But, like, maybe. It'd be a conversation.
And that's because it was 5 versus 3. Is that
– 5 versus 3. And then Taylen's obviously a very good player. And then, you know, you got the upside of Meadows. Like, I could talk myself into that class pretty easily, right? But, I mean, more than likely, it's not going to be anywhere close to that. So, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yep. Defensive end. Agree with that one for now. I mean – I like Chris Burgess a lot. Bryce Young was better, but I loved Cole Mullins. I love Logan Thomas. Right now, it's really Bryce Young because Notre Dame views Joseph Reif more as a Riley Mills type that may start at big end, but eventually they plan on him.
Is there another really true defensive end in the class?
The closest thing to it would be Dom Hulak. So yeah,
I don't even consider him a defensive
end. Neither do I.
Kind of a moving chess piece.
Yes, exactly. Even if they get Damian Shanklin, I still think last year's probably has an edge just on numbers, although I would argue the 1-2 of 25 is better.
I would argue that as well.
But I think that third piece is now if they'd have kept CJ May in the class, I think then you could have made a case that that's 25 a great conversation. They chose not to go that route. I would say I like Davion Dixon better than Sean Savigliano as a junior, my opinion.
Yeah.
25 tight end, agree. Yes. Yes. 25 corner, not yet.
Possibly,
not yet. I mean, Leonard Moore and Carson Hobbs versus Cree Thomas is advantage 24. Now, it's the minute that Notre Dame gets a Mark Zachary or a
Dallas Golden
or Tristan Haynes or even a Jameer Joseph, then edge 25, in my opinion. Mainly because I like Cree. I don't think you're going to agree with this. I like Cree more than I like Carson. I liked him more as a corner, but I also like him more as an overall prospect. The question would be if it's Dallas, it's a no-brainer 25. If Mark's the next guy to come, it's a little bit more of a debate for me because of how much I like Leonard Moore. but I'd still probably go with the 25 group in that case. But I think they're going to get three. And once they get the third guy, even if you say, hey, I like Leonard Moore as much as any of those guys, once they get a third guy, it's over with.
Right.
25 safety advantage right now. They have they have a significant advantage now.
Right this second.
If they get Jadon Blair, there's no position where the gap between one class and the other is greater than safety if they get Jadon Blair between 24 and 25.
And I mean safety advantage to, compared to 2023 too, if you want to take it back another cycle, right?
You could take it back a long time before you're gonna have that type of a class.
I mean if you get Jadon Blair, it might be a historical conversation. Yes. I mean
because I would argue right now this is the best safety duo probably since 2018 when they got Derek Allen and Houston Griffith as a 1-2 punch. I would argue that just because I think Ethan Long to me is better than the number two, whoever it is, whether you view it as Tabron or Kennedy or Lacker. I think Ivan Taylor's every bit as good as Bronte Johnson upside wise, but he's a better player now as a safety, as a safety. And so you've got the advantage at one and two. You go back to 2022, you know, a Don Shuler and Ben Minnick. I still like this group more than that one. Or 23. Yeah, I still like this group more than that one. 22, it's Jaden Bellamy. Definitely better than that one. 21, I don't think they signed a safety in the 21 class. 2020, again, I gotta try. Oh, 2020 was, I think all the safeties from that class are gone. I got to go back and look at their recruiting. But like I said, the moral of the story, 19, you had Kyle Hamilton, who was a star, but your number two safety in that class was Litchfield Ajavon, who...
Oh, Litchfield. Man,
yeah, about him. Yeah, so 2021...
He hit like a tank in high school, man. He's a Virginia guy, right? Litchfield
Ajavon? He did. So 2021, the safeties were Kerry G and Justin Walter, so definitely better than that class.
Litchfield Ajavon was so much... He was one of my top couple favorite fun safeties to watch in high school. And the other one was Chris Badger, because Chris Badger
used to
knock dudes out.
I still feel like if he wouldn't have gone on a Mormon mission, he would have been a much better college player than he was.
And Nico Fertitta laid
he was a truck,
out in high school. he was a truck. Dude, at 5'9", or whatever he was.
2021, Ryan, or 2020, they did not sign a safety. Their three DB hauls were Ramon Henderson, Caleb Offer, and Clarence Lewis. They eventually moved Ramon to safety, but he was recruited to play corner. They also had Landon Bartleson in that class, who ended up getting kicked off out of the class when he got arrested for theft.
Yes.
Such a ridiculous thing. And then 2019, you had Kyle Hamilton and Litchfield Ash. Actually, you know what? 2019 on paper would have been better because you had Kyle Hamilton, Litchfield, and you also had Isaiah Rutherford. Better than the one they have now. If you add Jadon, it's advantage 25 again. But I actually liked Isaiah Rutherford coming out. He ended up not panning out, but I thought he was a good solid. He was a lot like Ethan Long, to be completely honest with you. He was top 150-ish kind of guy, long, rangy. Hopefully the speed takes a tick up. I'd say I like Ethan more than Isaiah by a little bit. But when you add then Litchfield as your third, I'd go advantage 2019. Plus Kyle was a 5-star. I mean, I had him as a 5-star coming. I was the first person to have him as a 5-star. So I will pat myself a little bit on the back for that one. But it's since 2019. The 2018 safety class was pretty good too with Derek Allen and Houston Griffith. Derek Allen ended up not panning out, but he's a really good prospect. Top 100 guy. Houston was a top 100 guy. The one thing I'll say about this group runs better than that group did.
Sure.
Like definitely runs better than that group did. So good question, Zach. Very good question.
We had Archer said, from a pure numbers perspective, how many guys do you expect to hit the portal after spring? Which positions do you expect Notre Dame to target in the portal this summer?
I need at least three.
Yeah.
I mean, you need at least three to leave. I do think there'll be a receiver that leaves. I think you'll see somebody from one of the lines will leave. I mean, there's a lot of things to point to. I think there's a chance that maybe one of their tight ends goes on a medical scholarship. I mean, so, you know, they'll have some guys leave, but I don't think it'll be a big, big number. What they'll target in the portal, I think you're still going to look at Viper if the right guy jumps in the portal. You're going to look at corner for depth. There's no doubt. you're not going to ignore safety, even though you like Rod Hurd as your, you know, Adon Schuler. If there's a good depth safety that's willing to come in and be a depth safety, I don't think you ignore that just yet. I think those are all spots that you look at. And then the other portal ones, Ryan, are going to be in reaction to something that you may lose. You know, so like you lose a couple guys here and then you got to go to the portal. If you have a tight end that goes on a medical or something like that, to your point, you may have to go look for a depth tight end, a guy that can come in and be a depth player. I personally wouldn't. I think between Mitchell Evans and Eli Raridan and Cooper Flanagan and Davis Sherwood, plus, you know, I could go to Jack Larson and Henry Garrity as my number three tight end if I needed to. But with Mike Denbrock's offense, I don't even think you need to do that. I think you'd have to lose a second tight end before I'd feel like I had to go to the portal. Like you'd need to lose, because like I don't really count Kevin Bauman. But I'm not counting on him. But like to your point, if Eli Raridan got hurt again and it was like he's going to be out, then I would at least think about it. I would at least think about the tight end position. It would just depend on where my numbers are and who was out there. Those would be the main ones that I'd be looking at. At this point in time, any others that kind of stick out? I mean, if there's a young D tackle that wants to jump in, you know, and kind of maybe be the heir apparent, I'd be open to that, but it's not necessarily something I'm searching for as I go into the portal. It would be more of this kid that we recruited is in the portal now after his freshman year. And we love that kid. And he's going to come here and be a depth player for us in year one. And then when Riley and Howard leave, he could be a dude, you know, like, but that's not necessarily a target, you know, number two on your list of wants in the portal.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Yeah.
Good question. Very good question. Let's go. Got a last couple because we're going to have to get out of here in a second. Real quick from Wade Garrity says, after a recruit does an unofficial visit, you always say that we need to set them up with an official. What's the difference between official and unofficial? More one-on-one time with staff. What it really comes down to, Wade, is because not necessarily you could take an unofficial visit and actually get more one-on-one time with the coaching staff. It really comes down to is it paid for by the school or not? And the way that it works is an unofficial visit by rule. Now, it doesn't happen as much anymore because teams are paying kids to visit now, which is, I think, nuts, but and not legal at all. But it's absolutely happening. People ask me, why are these kids taking so many visits? Because they're getting paid to take those visits. Somebody in their family's getting money to take some of these visits at some of these places down south. But within rule, you can go on an unofficial. You can stay in town 3 days. You can meet with the coaches 24/7, be at every practice, do all these things, but they can't pay for anything. They can't pay for your hotel. They can't reimburse your travel. I think you can do like a lunch is I think about all you can do food wise is like a lunch, I think. But like official visit, you're taking them out to Ruth's Chris, you're paying for their hotel, you're paying for their airline plus two people with them. I mean, it's the whole thing's paid for. And that's the difference. I mean, that's really what the difference is. And then the other thing is there's times of the year where you're going to be taking officials more than unofficials and unofficials more than, like, you can't take an official. I don't think right now, I don't think that window's opened up yet.
You're correct.
But to simplify it, Wade, it's one's paid for, one isn't. Officials paid for by the school. The unofficials paid for by the prospect's family or the prospect. Yep.
I feel like unofficials also used to be usually just one day trips for the most part, but we're even seeing more people just stay for multiple days for unofficial visits. So
Jadon Blair just did that. I mean, he was on campus for multiple days, and you're seeing more kids, to your point, coming the night before, even when it's a quote unquote one day visit, they'll come the night before, do a little bit, and then the next day's kind of
stay the whole day. And then stay the opposite morning too. So you're
there for good
parts of That's 3 days.
That's a good point. Yeah. Absolutely. That's a very good point. Very good point. Yeah. Okay, let's go. Here we go.
Yeah, Coleman Smith says, off football for a second, what is your thoughts on Marcus Burton entering the draft? I think he needs to get a little stronger and develop more of a perimeter jump shot. I feel like I would be pretty surprised if Marcus Burton doesn't come back next year.
Well,
I mean,
Ryan,
I think he's just kind of getting feedback, right?
So Vince texted me yesterday and was like, hey, Marcus Burton is declared for the draft. And I was like, I was shocked by it. I was like, why? Like, I just don't think that makes sense. But here's what he wrote. Over the past few weeks, I've looked for ways to better my game for my sophomore season. While maintaining my eligibility at Notre Dame, I will enter my name into the NBA draft. The valuable feedback I will receive from this experience will pay dividends on and off the court. He's basically saying, I'm going through this process so I can go to camps and I can work out and I can get evaluated by NFL teams. They can work me out. I can do these different training camps that they do for NFL draft prospects, challenge myself against other players, have NFL, NBA teams tell me where my game needs to be developed and all that kind of stuff. And it's going to make me a better player at Notre Dame. That's literally what he's saying. Yes. I actually think that's a cool thing. As long as he's still getting his academic stuff taken care of, I'm actually cool with this because there are limitations on what the basketball staff can do with him right now.
Yep.
So I think it's a great thing for him. And I think it's very smart and savvy. And look, if for some reason the NBA says, dude, you're a first round pick and he stays in, good for him. You know, I mean, you know, because the thing is, first year, first round picks in the NBA get guaranteed contracts. I still believe, right? Second round picks do not. So. I believe first rounders do. So good for him. I don't anticipate that being the case. Because to your point, he does definitely need to get stronger. He needs to absolutely improve his jump shot. He needs to become an overall more efficient player. But the reality is, Coleman, as you know, the NBA drafts on potential nowadays. They don't draft on where your game is today. They draft on where your game is in 3-4 years. Otherwise, you know, Zach Edey's a top five pick, but he won't be anywhere close to that because they don't care that he may be the best college player in the draft. They're projecting, and that's why you see kids that'll score like 8-9 points as freshmen get drafted in the top 10, you know, because it's about the talent, which is why I hate the NBA draft nowadays. It's just
Marcus Burton's also only like what, 5'11? I mean, so he might actually be 5'10. I feel like you should probably stay in college a couple years, brother. I don't know.
You listen to what I just read. I mean, does that not scream, guys, I'm coming back? I just you know, get a chance to better my game. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I just love the way he wrote it. I mean, he basically told Notre Dame fans without telling them, guys, I'm not going anywhere. I just need to improve my game. And this is going to give me a chance to, I mean, it's essentially what he wrote. Yeah. So, because when I first heard Vince scared me at first. He's like, Marcus declared. I was like, what?
Yeah,
and then Sean sent the actual quote, and I was like, oh, he's coming back. Yeah,
I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if he left after 1 year. I mean, he was really good in his freshman year, but like, I mean, he just didn't strike me as a one and done type of kid, right? Like, just did not strike me as one of those. So,
yep. Ryan, I am gonna go to. Let me see here. I think there's one more question that I wanted to get to before we run. Here it is. This isn't it. There's a lot of really good questions left, guys, and I'm sorry I can't get to all these. Tommy had one. Tommy, I'm going to answer that on the board, man. He had a great three sports villains on and off the court, three on and off the court. Let's talk tennis. I think that's the best sport where you find villains. Tennis. Here was the question I wanted to get to. This was from John A1 that I thought would be a really interesting way to end it. Cause I'm very curious to what you said. Now I'm going to say this, Ryan, let's do the caveat of Riley Leonard doesn't come, not because of this, but Riley Leonard coming is not an option. Riley Leonard doesn't get hurt against Notre Dame. He leads them to a win over Florida State. He balls out second half of the year and he decides to go pro. So Riley Leonard's not on the table for Notre Dame. The choice is go with what you got or year seven under Sam Hartman. What do you do? Because the question is from John A1, if Sam Hartman was granted a seventh year, would you want him back as the guy going into the year two at Notre Dame?
No. I would roll with what I have personally because in that situation, we just saw Sam struggle a little bit developing to a new system. And in this situation, we're asking him to develop into another system. I would opt for the talent in that situation. I was on board with the Riley Leonard decision because I think you went after a player that has a unique skill set and is incredibly talented, right? Sam Hartman's just he's not that uniquely talented, right? Like, he's not that uniquely gifted. I can get something out of CJ, Kenny, Steve in this year that I think I could have gotten out of Sam Hartman, depending upon, you know, you're not going to get the experience, but you're not going to get a unique skill set is my point overall. So no, he doesn't have a unique enough of a skill set for me to want him back for a seventh year. I just wouldn't have been on the table for me personally.
It definitely would have been on the table for me. I've been back and forth for the last hour as to what my answer would be. The reason that I would lean towards no is exactly what you said. The talent's not unique. And you've got, and it's not just, you're not just betting on CJ or Kenny or Steve. You have all three of them which ups the odds that one of them emerges as the guy, right? So that would be my inclination that way. My inclination the other way, Ryan, is if Jared Parker was still the OC, this is a no-brainer. The answer is no. In Mike Denbrock's offense, I see a lot of things that fit really well into Sam's strengths as a quarterback, as a thrower, not as a mover. And that would be my one concern. Is, but I don't know that Steve and CJ add a ton of that Jaden Daniels mobility either. They clearly don't. Right. You know, but I think about the concepts that he likes to run, the play action stuff he likes to run. He likes to throw the ball down the field, the wide fades, the one-on-one, you know, comebacks to the bound. A lot of things that Sam threw a lot at Wake Forest. I think the transition into Mike Denbrock's offense would be a lot better for Sam than playing under the one that they played in last year. I do think that. But at the end of the day, I've waffled back and forth on all those because I think Sam gives me the most assurance that this team is going to be a playoff team. But then my question would be, okay, but can Sam take you into the postseason and lead you to a championship? That's a bigger question for me. So I'm actually really torn on this one, Ryan. I really am back and forth because I feel like Sam would have a much better supporting cast around him this year.
It would be better for Sam.
Yeah. Definitely better for Sam. He'd fit the system a lot better than he did last year. So in that regard, I'd kind of lean towards the known commodity of Sam Hartman, but I would still be torn. Every time he had a bad game, I'd still be like, man, they should have just turned it over to CJ or Kenny or something like that. Right. You know what I mean? So like, I really am back and forth. I don't know that I can say definitively what I would do. I think it'd be a much tougher decision for me. And the reason why is because of, like you said, because like if we're talking about the depth chart from 2022, then I think your answer is different. Right? I mean, if your question is like, okay, is it Drew Pine, Sam, or Steve Angeli, would your answer be different than when you're talking about Steve Angeli, Kenny Minchie, and CJ Carr? Right. I mean, that's the aspect that factors into it as well, because you look at it and say, boy, that is a lot of talented quarterback. And are we ready to turn the page on that or not? Because as you said, Riley Leonard has that needle moving talent.
Yep.
Sam does not. I totally get that. My only hesitation would be, I think the supporting cast is such that I would be very much interested in that point guard quarterback in Mike Denbrock's offense, being able to just get that ball where it needs to go. You know, but at the end of the day, I'm glad we don't have to make this decision because the quarterback room is a lot better off now with Riley and the young guys than it would have been with Sam and those three young guys, in my opinion.
Another big positive is Sam Hartman was back for his seventh year, then when they wanted to go on spring break or something, he could rent a car for them now since he's 28. So that's good. It's fantastic. Great for him.
That is so messed up. And also very, very
true. Well, it's 25, right? Is it 25 the age believe for it is. Yes. The rental car? Yes.
Yes. There you go. Yes.
You can now rent a car. Congratulations, Sam. Good job.
Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, that's kind of my – I really am torn, Ryan. I've been back and forth. Even now, I'm still back and forth. I don't know. I'll tell you this. I don't think there's a wrong – for me, there's not a wrong answer. I would trust whatever the coaches decided to do. But it's not nearly as easy. Like you said, when Riley Leonard was, you and I knew for a while that Riley Leonard was going to come to Notre Dame, or at least probably come to Notre Dame. That was a no-brainer to me. I mean, an absolute no-brainer. I don't think this one's a no-brainer by any stretch of imagination. And I'll probably decide if I told you right now, I'd bring him back for sure. I'd 5 minutes after the show's over, I'm like, you know what, man, now that I think about it, like that's just where I've been this whole hour since I first saw that question from John. I've just been back and forth because I do think there's merits on both sides of this. But I also don't think saying, hey, I'm going with the talent is a bad answer at all. I think that's why I am torn on it, because just pure God given ability, all three of the kids on the roster have better ability than Sam Hartman. They don't have better ability than Riley Leonard. When you consider his dual threat ability, because with Sam, it's just who throws a better ball. I'd argue CJ Carr throws a better ball than any of them right now, including Sam Hartman. I think you could argue that Kenny Minchie, when he's on, throws a better ball than Sam or Steve. But when you add the dynamic ability that Riley Leonard brings to the table, it's just a whole different animal. So, yep, Ryan, that's That's going to do it. Jason Smith had a really good question. Jason, bring that back next week, man. Do me a favor. Jason, you're a regular. Can you please bring that back? Because it's a question about running backs in the NFL. It's what Marshall Faulk has said about it, and I really want to get your opinion on that down the road, Ryan. But we got to get running today. So, Jason, please bring that back next mailbag, man. I definitely want to answer that. All of you actually bring all these questions back, but that's definitely what I saw that I wanted to get back to, and including Ballpin Shalala's, who would your emergency Notre Dame basketball team be if you had to pick from the football team? And I don't think enough people are remembering.
Can I have Deuce Knight? Can I bring Deuce Knight on campus?
And I don't think a lot of people are remembering that Sullivan Absher and Tosh Baker were also basketball players in high school. So, Ryan, why don't you take us out of here, man?
I appreciate everyone for stopping in to the Notre Dame football mailbag. Before you leave, please hit that like button for us. Make sure you subscribe to the channel and hit the notification bell on YouTube. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, or anything in between, 5-star reviews are very much appreciated. Make sure you subscribe over there. It's another big recruiting weekend, and Brian has some intel coming from a team perspective. So if you want to go to boards.irishbreakdown.com, that's where all that information will be dropped. We thank you all so much. Hope everybody has a great weekend, and we will talk to you again very soon here on the Irish Breakdown podcast. We'll be right back.